When Puharich asked Spectra with whom we should work in these contacts, he was told, only three. Yuri, Shimshin, you. We cannot use your full powers unless you and Yuri and Shimshin are together. 5. This preference for groups of three or multiples of three is often seen in UFO messages such as this one. Q. How many people are aboard a flying saucer? A. I have never seen more than 6 in one craft. However, they can travel in units of 3, 6, 9, or the 4th of August 2012, depending on the planet from which they originate, or the polarized balance of the people in connection with the mechanics of the craft traveling through space. 6. You must have a group for contact. Band yourselves together. 7. And of course, the concept that when two or three are gathered together in my name, I will grant their requests, is as old as the teachings of Jesus. Puharich's contact talks now about the coming time when they hope to be able to land on planet Earth. Yuri and Andrea, listen carefully. We hope to land on your planet in a few years. We are seen more and more by people. We will enter your orbital system through word lost transformation and be able to enter your environment. 8. The expectation of a mass landing of extraterrestrials is shared by many contactees. The Hat on Source devotes many messages to their desires to land during the cycle change. George Hunt Williamson's contact, Brother Philip, says, beloved ones, from the hosts of Michael the Sun, the golden helmeted ones sweep toward the Earth, those of another dimension and another time. And yet, they are here to add their light and their love in the program now manifested upon your Earth world. 9. And again, on the day of the great telling, millions of citizens of the civilized parts of the world will know beyond a shadow of a doubt the fact that space visitors are here, and they will know why they are here. 10. In the same message as the one in which the reference to the mass landing appears, Spectra tells Puharich, one of our failures is that we cannot contact you directly. We can only talk to you through Ari's power on the tape recorder. It is a shame that for such a brilliant mind we cannot contact you directly. Maybe in time we shall be able to contact you directly. 11. They are speaking here of direct telepathic contact. They say that any person who sincerely wishes to contact them can accomplish the contact. All are capable of direct communication. You merely have to ask, then be receptive. We do not set the time. We work through your teachers. Your own teachers and spiritual aides and guides will let us know when we can come through. Of course, remember too, spiritual guides and teachers are your own Christ-aware self as well as those who are assigned to your development. 12. It has been my experience that the more used to intellectual thoughts and cerebrations a mind is, the more difficult it is for that mind to display telepathic ability. However, it has also been my experience that with the proper training, anyone who has the desire to achieve this telepathic contact will eventually succeed in doing so. Dr. Puharich's busy and mentally challenging life has so far not left him with time to work at stilling his intellectual mind for this purpose. But if he could find the time, I think he or anyone could succeed in getting this type of contact. As Spectra finishes this message, it talks more about the proposed movie which Puharich has been working on. It is a brilliant movie, but not the story we want. We want you to prepare the Earth for our landing, a mass landing on Earth. We landed in South America 3,000 years ago, and now we must land again. We want you to tell our story, what you call the UFO experience. Use all the collected data and literature. 13. Again, this message is quite congruent with our instructions to make a movie. I am going to talk next about IS, which is a dubbed name, standing for intelligence from space, and refers to the entities aboard a ship. Spectra. Spectra, like many UFO-related names, sounds totally fake, right out of science fiction, and many readers of UFO literature have objected to this seeming comic book flavor. Yuri asked Puharich, why the Hollywood name? Williamson's book, The Sources Speak, is especially full of these strange names. I realize these names are strange, but on the other hand, I'm quite sure that people like Dr. Puharich and Williamson, who have extensive educational and professional backgrounds, could make up far more convincing sets of identity if they were intentionally creating falsehoods. I think the problem here lies in the limited ability of the UFOnauts to understand our language. If they have been monitoring our communications systems, it might be quite reasonable for them to choose these names as being good for recognition in our language. I would not have been surprised to find their ship named the Starship Enterprise. To find my way back from the digression, when Puharich asked is when this mass landing would take place, the reply was, we will not reveal to you our timetable in landing on Earth in your local time. It may be some years, or sooner. 14 This coincides with the Hatton source, which says that the exact time of the cycle change will be dependent upon the consciousness of all of us, as we help or hinder that change, and that the time when landing will be possible is dependent upon the degree of acceptance of them which they find on Earth at the time of the cycle change. I had been given a fairly exact date for the desired mass landing, and when I talked with Puharich in 1974, I asked if he had such a date. It turned out that we both had the same information. However, there may be a delay from that desired date, due to the slow dissemination of information about the UFO's purpose and the acceptance of that information by man on Earth. His tackles the question of why the UFOnauts don't contact our government, and Raya, many people in the US government and the Russian government know about our existence. We do not give them any breaks to know us better. They only know that UFOs are real, nothing more. 15 Their lack of interest in our politics is due to their own feeling about governments, but we do not desire your world, the Earth, but we desire instead that you should develop it. 16 The UFOnauts view all of the Earth's peoples as being the same. They are not interested in our government, science, or any facet of the normal mechanics of our civilization. To them, all of these are of a very primitive nature. They are interested in the development of man himself, and care far more about the nature of his manifested higher body or aura than his scientific or political credentials. For this reason, many of the contactees are persons of no great importance to the society, though their vibrations are exemplary. It is easy to see why they do not contact government or other officials if you consider what would happen if they had been in the skies in the time of the Caesars. Do you think they would have been keen to contact Rome's top scientist, or the politicians of the day? No, their interest in us, their service to us, is not societal or indirect, but personal and individual. App, may I now take Yuri to Captain Mitchell to start experiments? You were not given permission to do this. App, since you indicated 2 days ago that I may tell everything, may I reveal your presence to any outsider now? Not yet. You may start a motion picture and reveal everything. You may go ahead with everything but do not reveal to anybody yet that we are truly so near to you. 17 The UFOnauts desire a dissemination of information about their presence, but they are aiming for a method of advertising that does not bully the customer. They want Earthmen to be made aware of their presence and their message in a gradual way, and they are in some instances not quite sure just how much can be tolerated by the public without producing difficulties from adverse opinions and fear. In Yuri we see again the UFOnauts attitude towards contact with us, even though it seems cumbersome to deal with the seeming hocus-pocus of contactees instead of just landing in plain sight of all and dealing directly with us, yet still this indirect way is preferred. Because not all of the population of our planet, by any means, wants this forced addition to their sure knowledge. Not everyone wants their world to expand. As is put it, we have been checking out all the human race, and we came to the conclusion that only panic and disaster may appear when we will land on your Earth in a few years. We wanted to give you, and test you, how deep in conscience you can go in telling the human race that we people exist, we creatures, as you call us in science fiction terms, on Earth. The human race is an anxious and unacceptable race. Andrea Puharich, Yuri Geller, and Shimshon Strang, we still need your will of mind for our purposes, and we shall keep on using you. From today, you will be completely independent. You shall decide for yourselves. You shall go on with work. The way you figure out, that is the best. But you must stay in close contact with us. 18 G.H. Williamson also suggests that, to the UFO nauts, we are an anxious and unacceptable bunch. Many people today are asking, if spacemen are here, why don't they land and contact our leaders? Why don't they explain their mission? Did these same individuals ever stop to think that no sane Earthman would descend into a pit of crawling rattlesnakes? With all Earth's strife, with bloody wars that carry thousands of men, women and children to slaughter worse than any circus of Nero or medieval Inquisition, is it any wonder that spacemen have not landed here? ? 19 Although from our own point of view this seems a rather harsh thing to say about man on Earth, from the standpoint of our own ideals of behavior, our wars and other negative acts do seem indefensible. So that, from the unflinching standpoint of our own ethical standards, we would have to say the same harsh thing. I personally do not have the answer to how we can stop wars, for each time we see men do things to people we care about which are harmful, they become our enemy, and it seems right to defend ourselves. To get from where we are to the point where there are no wars will take plenty of meditation. I have stated earlier that the only real result of our lives on Earth is the evolution of our essential selves, call it the evolution of mind or progression of spirit. The UFO nauts want us to arrive at a more evolved state of thinking by the only process which is effective in causing real evolvement, our own independent seeking of the truth of the meaning of our existence. The visitors to our planet are very willing to help us, but always they back off before a contactee can prove his source. Always they let the contactee tell his story at second hand. Then the stimulus of other life in the universe will occur only to those who are ready to hear it. As the UFO contacts say, the knowledge of all truth is within everyone. Meditation can stimulate the memory of our true nature and relationship to the creation. There are strict rules of confederation contact with planets such as ours. The non-interference rule which governed the Star Trek crew covers it very well. There is another problem in dealing with this anxious and unacceptable people of Earth. Many in our society do not desire mental evolution in the direction of these particular UFO nauts. The Confederation is a group strongly polarized in philosophical or spiritual terms towards the good, towards unity of all things, towards merging in oneness with the Creator. In sharp contrast, many of our people are on a path of separation, of self as set against the rest of the universe. The Confederation sees this line of separation as an error but respects the right of each man to choose his own direction. You can see that, although the message of these Confederation brothers is spiritual, there is nothing of religion proper in their approach. They do not believe in the hard sell type of conversions. When Puharich asked is whether the mass landing would still take place, if the Earth's people remained unacceptable, is replied, there shall be landings on Earth. But the landings might be invisible, and only visible to you. 20 Many contactees comment on this ability of the craft to seemingly appear to some and not to others, and to appear and disappear from our skies instantly, but there is another way too in which we are capable of working. That is in projecting our astral bodies into the third dimension. In other words, fourth dimensionally we can project into your third dimension. The experience would be extremely real to you, and of course real to us, but it is not the physical body that you would see at that time. 21 Not all will see the spaceship because some of them are etheric in nature. 22 It has not been seen in the physical, but it shall be seen by those who have eyes to see. And then, when it is necessary, after most of the cleansing has been completed, it will take on material form. But nothing would be accomplished by materializing the ship at this time. Other ships have been seen coming from the etheric into the material and then dematerializing, and little has been accomplished except to make a very, very few think and spread the word. 23 That is why some of you see spaceships and others do not. They are actually vibrating at a different frequency. Sometimes they can change their frequency to correspond with your visual or your physical sightings or senses. Then you or a group can see them. But for the most part they are in operation at another frequency and you cannot see them. Those with the higher senses can see them, even when they are invisible to others, because their senses are tuned to it. Those people are often scoffed at because they say there is something to be seen and others see nothing with the physical eye. 24 If we chose to remain unseen, we could do so easily and, in fact, we have done so almost without exception for hundreds of years. No one sees us unless we want to be seen. 25 The hat on source gives a slightly different slant to the details of this visible, invisible characteristic. Each person has a vibration from eternity to eternity. At any given moment, each person vibrates in an individual manner. Therefore, as we vibrate in our individual manners, from dimension to dimension, there are some who, with their higher vibrations, may see us. We are able to appear to some, or to others, by adjusting our rate of vibration. This is, as we say, usually done for a purpose, that purpose being to alert individuals who are ready to receive this stimulus. 26 So, is advised Puharich that he should teach people, but not people who cannot accept happenings. 27 Do anything that produces energy, good works. 28 Then, is bid them adieu, although we are always with you people, we shall stay away from this human race for a couple of years. 29 The one exception was that they would continue to work through Yuri. We are not interfering in any way. We are just letting things happen sometimes for Yuri. 30 I had an interesting demonstration of this last statement while returning from a UFO research convention on October 19, 1975. I was piloting a Beechcraft Baron, which is a light airplane, and I experienced a total malfunction of the artificial horizon. This is the primary instrument used to maintain level flight during bad weather, when there are no visual references that the pilot can see. In cloudy conditions, the real horizon disappears, so the artificial horizon is all important. The artificial horizon is similar in its malfunctioning to a flat tire, in that it never fixes itself. You either replace it or repair it. But, after being inoperative for over an hour, my artificial horizon started working perfectly again just when I became in need of it. This was so unusual a thing to happen that I doubted whether I could convince the maintenance mechanic that it had malfunctioned at all, and for this reason I took a witness to the phenomenon when I talked to the technician back at the hangar. 5 days later, I was visiting Uri Geller in the Las Vegas Hilton, and just happened to mention the strange occurrence with the gyro horizon. He immediately became very excited and started looking for a manila folder. I noticed the corner of a manila folder sticking out from some other papers right beside me and fished it out. "Is this it?" I asked. "Note please, skeptics, that the folder was only a few inches from me, so that Geller had no opportunity to write in it. Since I had not been in previous contact with him or any of his associates for about a year, it is highly unlikely that he would have found out about the malfunction. Open it up," he shouted. I did, and found the following notation scrawled across the first page: "Horizon went out. Plane. Comparison of our activities showed that when I was having my troubles in the air on the 19th, near Evansville, Indiana, Yuri had been listening to stereo music on his headset in his New York City home. Over the music, Yuri suddenly heard a voice say, 'Horizon went out.' He didn't know what the statement meant, so he wrote it down on the folder. Then he felt energy flow through him, like when he fixes something. But this made no sense to him, and he forgot about it. Until he heard my story. 'I guess I fixed your horizon,' he said. 'It sure looks that way,' I replied. We then noticed an ashtray in the middle of the floor that had not previously been there. As I commented on this, a small bottle flew spontaneously from the desk across the room, sharply striking a window some 10 feet distant. The bottle hit glass with such a resounding crash that I was surprised that nothing was broken. 'I fixed it, I fixed your horizon,' said Yuri. 'That's how they tell me.'" When Puharich reported his dog vanishing instantaneously, articles appearing and disappearing due to his presence, people found it hard to believe him. I suppose you still find it hard to believe my story. When it happens to you personally, you have no choice but to witness to the truth. The book Yuri contains a description of the state of meditation from a morphophysiological point of view. Molecules in brain cells are only positively open when excitement is not strong. Normal excitement overcomes the vibration to our powers. Brain should be in a very relaxed state to receive messages from us. 31 This is the same state with which I have experimented, as have many others, in producing telepathic contact with UFO sources. One last tie-in from Yuri to the body of contactee data occurs unexpectedly. Puharich reports a string of odd occurrences having to do with some pens on his desk which had flipped up out of their holder and fallen in a pattern which spelled out the word WHY. At 3:45 PM I returned to my study, where I found Yuri doodling at my desk. I looked at what he had just doodled. It was a set of very advanced tensor equations describing the nature of the gravitational field. Yuri did not know what he had just doodled, and he asked me where this came from. Since I recognized the equations as being of the form written by Albert Einstein, I replied, almost facetiously, Einstein. As I said this, there appeared a piece of paper on the floor some 10 feet away from me. I walked over to pick it up. It was a newspaper photo of Albert Einstein. I remembered seeing such a photo in the New York Times magazine some 10 years earlier. I had clipped it out but had not seen it for several years. At this vantage point I was looking at my bed across the hall from where I was standing. In front of my eyes there had appeared a book on the white bedspread. I walked over to examine it. It was a book I had last seen in the basement. It was by Edwin F. Taylor and John Archibald Wheeler, entitled Space-Time Physics, published by W. H. Freeman and Company in 1963. I looked through it carefully, but the equations that Yuri had doodled were not in this book, although the general subject matter was there. Throughout all this activity I had left the 9 pens on my blotter pad intact spelling out the word Y. I returned to my study with Yuri, holding the book. As we approached the desk, right in front of our eyes the 9 pens flipped simultaneously in the air and settled down into a new pattern as follows. Though I did not understand the symbolism or meaning of the configuration 32, after I read Yuri, I decided to see if I could get a response from the UFO source on this arrangement of pens. I used 2 of my best telepathic subjects to try to discover the possible significance of this pattern to the UFO source who had sent it to Puharich. They came up with the following answers, quite independently of each other. 1. The 6 straight lines are the creator's house. The triangle represents the creator. 2. The 6 straight lines represent the 3 dimensions of time plus the 3 dimensions of space. The triangle represents the creator. So, in both cases, the triangle was said to represent the creator. The subject who received the impression that the 6 upright pens symbolized the creator's house was not a scientist. The other subject was one. I immediately referred back to Dewey B. Larson's analysis of the physical universe as possessing 3 dimensions of space and 3 of time. And I have to agree that, translated from the mathematical language of dimensionality, 3 dimensions of time and 3 of space are the same as saying, the creator's house in Larsonian physics. Here is Hoover's statement concerning UFOs. Most of these reports by humans are due to hallucinations and aberrations. But some of our units have landed. But most of the reported landings have been from other visitors from space, some of whom we do not see, but which you can see. They are of different vibrations, different spaces, different velocities. We are the only ones who are mostly here. The other visitors come and go. We stay. 33 This is precisely our understanding of the situation as communicated through telepathic receivers. I'd like to look again at the essence of the anti-dogmatic yet spiritual type of message which telepathic receivers so often report. Note the characteristics: a desire to help people, a fitting in with the religious belief of the culture to which the contact is made, a desire to help prevent wars, and a strong motivation to open people's awareness. Ah, we know the past of the human race. But this is one of the secrets, we cannot tell it to you. As to the future we are not permitted either. But remember all that people need to do. God has written on stone the Ten Commandments. Thus shall it be done. Remember, you are working for us in ways that are important to us, and which we have not yet explained. Actually, there is no special message for you to pass to the human race. It is possible that should there be a war impending, as between Russia and China, there may be a message to prevent it. But you may try to open their minds with things like telepathy and psychokinesis, things which we have almost forgotten. Yes, they are to be helped. 34. There's one more interesting correlation between a statement by us and material in USP. Remember this passage: we want you to prepare this earth for our mass landing, a mass landing on earth. We landed in South America 3,000 years ago, and now we must land again. 35. With it in mind, look at these passages from USP: and Jehovah caused the earth, and the family of the sun to travel in an orbit, the circuit of which requireth of them 4,700,000 years. And he placed in the line of the orbit, at distances of 3,000 years, Aetherian lights, the which places, as the earth passeth through, angels from the second heaven come into its corporeal presence. As ambassadors they come, in companies of hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands, and these are called the Aetherian hosts of the Most High. Not as single individuals come they, not for a single individual mortal come they. 36. First, the earth playeth in a circuit around the sun, which circuit is divided into four arcs called spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Second, the sun, with his family, playeth in a large circuit, which is divided into 1,500 arcs, the distance of which for each arc is about 3,000 years, or one cycle. 37. Here is the idea of the cycles, with a more specific discussion of how long they are. Just what are these cycles? How do they affect us? And why must the UFOs appear during the cycle change? One general reason for the UFOs appearing is quoted by researcher Brad Stager in his book, Revelation, The Divine Fire: the craft that contains the instrument in which I am recorded is 4 3/10 miles in length, by your method of measurement, and 2 1/10 miles in circumference. This craft also contains others of us who are in human form. I have passed the phase of human form. My knowledge and mind processes were long ago recorded into an instrument you would liken to a computer. I was brought to the vicinity of this planet approximately 30,000 years ago, by your method of time measurement. Your planet and the living forms upon it have a specific value to us. Your form of life has a particular value to us. For this reason, at about the time I was brought to the vicinity of your world, we interfered with the natural development of the species of man that inhabited this planet. Our purpose was to shorten the cycle of development necessary for the human inhabitants of this planet to be of use to us. 38. Interestingly enough, in Uri we read that is also reports a computer or computer-like state. Andrea Buharich, you must understand, in this state we are computers. 39. But, be they computers or humans, or entities of an unknown and novel kind entirely, the question remains: why do they appear at the cycle's change? And what is a cycle? These are questions important enough in the Space Contactee message to deserve a chapter to themselves. Chapter 8, The Wanderers. George Hunt Williamson, an anthropologist of considerable reputation, began reporting UFO contact in the early 50s. He published several books about his contactee experiences, none of which were seriously given credence or consideration by his peers. The books contain much that we still consider untrue. The UFOnauts had told Williamson that the sun was not a hot, flaming body but a cool body, and that we had two moons, one a dark moon which was unseen. He was told, moreover, that the moon we already know about had an atmosphere and water. Obviously, none of these statements make sense. But let us back up a bit and look at these statements again, considering not our third density alone but also those densities which interpenetrate ours. Since most of the UFOnauts are in a reality displaced from ours, it is quite possible that they are experiencing these described conditions. In fact, if the Williamson book, The Sources Speak, Is Red keeping the physical and mental variants of these displaced realities in mind? The material makes quite a bit of sense. In the sources speak, Williamson quotes the UFO sources saying, "To apples we salt, we return." No explanation is given of it here, but in a later work, Other Tongues, Other Flesh, he interprets the statement as a promise made to a certain type of individual on Earth.